Hello again, podcast friends. This is Angelisa Chandler, Biblical Counselor and the Care Ministry Associate here at New Vision Baptist Church. And we are now in a new sermon series and actually a great podcast called Out of Context. This is the first week, and I hope you guys are really enjoying it. What an awesome way to spend time together in the Word, because more than anything, I hear questions about this all the time. Like, how do you know what Scripture really means? And how is it that so many people have different ideas or understandings of what Scripture says? And how can we know what the truth is? But awesome enough, we are doing this podcast so we can dig into Scripture, so we can talk about these passages in a way that honors the Lord. We'll go into the Word, kind of see exactly where this Scripture comes from, and help us to discern exactly what these Scriptures are talking about. So today, I get the privilege of meeting you with you today to speak about a certain verses, actually two of them, in John chapter 14. This is John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. I will first begin by reading just those two verses so we know what we're talking about, but I will kind of have to go back a little bit and kind of give you some context to help us really discern what the Scripture really means. So if you guys will, let's go ahead and do Bible study this morning. I hope you have your Bibles. Turn them to John chapter 14. First, I'm just going to read verses 13 and 14 just to see what the question is. This is what it says. This is the NIV that I'm reading from. Starting in verse 13, it says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." All right, guys. So now that we've read the Scripture in question, you already know what the question is, don't you? It says these things about asking for anything in Jesus' name, and he'll do it. So how has this verse been taken out of context? Well, first of all, let's go back and see exactly where this verse is in Scripture. Why is this being said? Who's saying it? And in what context? We can do that by kind of looking at chapter 14 as a whole. So if we look at chapter 14 and actually even rewinding a little bit back to 13, we see that Jesus has been kind of preparing his disciples for his death and resurrection, right? He's been telling his disciples, hey, this is going to happen. I'm going to have to die. And then 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. He's been telling them this. Matter of fact, he just got done telling Peter that he's going to deny him three times because of this. And just a lot of things have been going on. So we start off in chapter 14, where Jesus is trying to comfort them because they're very confused about what's going to happen. So if we look back in chapter 14, starting in verse 1, Jesus is really trying to let them know, hey, I'm going to have to leave this place and you're not always going to have me, but where I'm going is going to be an amazing place. It has a lot of rooms and you don't have to be worried or scared because you know where I'm going to go. The problem is they were listening to Jesus and they heard about this awesome place. But as you can see in verse 5 of chapter 14, Thomas, which by the way, he kind of gets a bad rep, right? He's the doubting Thomas. He again is the one to step up and ask the question. He says to Jesus, "But Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" So they hear Jesus and they hear that he's trying to comfort them, but they're still clueless about what's going on, right? They're like, "But where are you going and how do we know?" So then Jesus tries to explain this way. He says, "Hey, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And then he tries to explain to them that he is God. Him and God are one, and that if they know him, then they already know God, so they know where he is going to be with God. I know that's a lot to wrap our brains around. But if you keep reading, he explains, and he says that, "Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me?" Pretty much he's saying that anything that I'm doing, it's only because the Father in me is doing these things. And because of that, we know he is the Father. He says this because he's trying to transition into these verses that are very confusing to set the tone. And he does that especially in verse 12. So in verse 12, he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. So basically, he's saying the same thing, right? Hey, I am able to be with my Father, God, because he is in me and I'm doing things that God wants me to do. And we can do the same thing. So he says, hey, if you really believe in me and you accept me, then I am going to come and dwell within you and you will be able to do things because of me. I know, still wrapping your brain around all this is a little confusing, but he says this by saying, man, we will even get to do greater things than Jesus because he's going to be in us. So as we read these next two verses in 13 and 14, the ones that are confusing, it all makes sense. He says, because we believe in him, we will be acting out of not our own desires and our own fleshly needs. Instead, we will have the same will and the same desires as Jesus because he will be doing the work in and through us. So whenever we ask, whatever we ask in Jesus' name, then we're asking in the character of Jesus. This is not a blanket, just kind of genie request, right? Or we can just say, hey, I just want these three wishes, right? This is not a genie in a lamp that we can just say, in Jesus' name, give me XYZ. That's not what he's talking about. This isn't a magic word to get whatever we want. He's saying to us that whenever we use his name, we are going to act in accordance to his character and his mercy and his will and his authority and not our own. We should have that unity in mind and motive to Jesus as Jesus has with God. So whenever we're praying, we should never have blanket prayers just asking God in Jesus' name for things that we in our flesh and our desire want from life in this world. But instead, when we have that unity with Christ, our prayers will change. We will have a different motive. We will have the motive, the same as Jesus, to do the will of the Father to please God. So instead, these prayers, when we ask them in Jesus' name, will be in accordance to Jesus' will. Therefore, those will be granted because it will be his way and his desires and his heart. We must remember what the second part of verse 13 says is, and I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Meaning that anything we're asking something that's going to please God, not to please self, not to grant selfish wishes or selfish desires, but to please God. I wear a bracelet often that's back, you know, I'm old school, and it says WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? And that's exactly what God is talking about in these verses. God wants us to have the desire to look like Jesus and to want the things that Jesus would want. He even modeled this for us in his prayer at Gethsemane when he was praying to God about him going to the cross, right? He was praying, saying, please, God, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But then we see that his desires, he wants to line up with the Lord. So he says, but your will, not mine. So in the same way, guys, I hope that we can pray that way and we can change our lens of prayer to line ourselves with the will and the mind of Jesus so that we can please God. I hope this helps, guys, and I'm really, really excited to hear what other verses come up on the podcast. So have a great weekend and join us back on the podcast on Monday. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.